2012 variance hearing. I'm Daniel Sutter, the acting zoning administrator. I'm joined here today by Ava Atira Taylor, who's our executive secretary at Controls, running the hearing. Before we get into the substance of today's hearing, there are a handful of housekeeping items that we need to attend to. Please bear with me. This IA information is a bit tedious, but it is important. The order of presentation for cases that we'll hear today, after we call an item, the applicant or the property owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five findings needed to justify a variance have been met. The applicant should also submit the declaration of closing when they approach to present their case. Proponents are then allowed 3 minutes to speak on behalf of the project, followed by opponents, who are also allowed 3 minutes. If any public comment has been made, the applicant or the owner is allowed an additional 3 minutes for rebuttal if he or she chooses. Following that, I may or may not ask questions of the applicant or the owner. I also may ask questions of the public if there is any comment. And lastly, I will take an action on the item. Typically, that action is either to continue the item, to take it under advisement after closing the public hearing, or to indicate a preference or an inclination to either grant or deny the application. Consent calendar items are the exception to what I just read through. There are two items on the consent calendar today. Consent calendar items are matters that we consider to be typically routine. If you would like to speak on either one of these two items, please step forward when those items are called. That'll happen in just a few minutes. Otherwise, those two items will be granted. There are five criteria required to justify and grant variance. Section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following findings, the first of which is that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other properties or uses in the same class of zoning district. The second finding is that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of the specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or an unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the property owner. The third finding is that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other properties in the same class of zoning district. The fourth finding is that the granting of the variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. The fifth and final finding is that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Now, no decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to the current backlogs of the Planning Department staff workload, decision letters currently can take up to 2 months to be issued. Please be aware of that. If you wish to receive a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet at the front of the hearing room and provide your contact information. We'd be happy to get you a copy. We will, of course, send a copy of the decision letter to project applicants, so there's no need if you're a project applicant to fill out that sign-up sheet. Once a decision letter is issued, it carries with it a 10-day appeal window. During this 10-day period, the zoning administrator's action to grant or deny a variance application may be appealed to the Board of Appeals. Information about the Board of Appeals is on the city's website. A few final matters in the housekeeping department. There will be a public comment period at the end of today's period, during which we're happy to hear from any member of the public on items that are not on today's agenda. Again, that's a public comment period for items that are not agendized today. Each member of the public will be allotted 3 minutes during that period. Private conversations are, of course, disruptive to the hearing. We do, of course, encourage that parties involved in cases on calendar today engage in a dialogue and have a discussion. We do ask that you please do this outside of the hearing room. I'd also ask at this time that everyone please turn off their mobile phones and iPads and everything else in that genre. Turn it off completely. Don't put it on vibrate. Even on vibrant mode, the equipment will interfere with our audiovisual equipment. The next variance hearing is scheduled for just about a month out from now, on October 24th, 2012. And lastly, audio recordings of previous variance hearings are available on the Planning Department's website. That wraps up our housekeeping. Thank you for your patience, and let's move forward to the items on the continuous calendar.
Assistant Zia, would you like to discuss about the two items that will be moved and the one that was pulled out as well, so we can have that recorded?
Thank you. Yes, let's do that. Item 9, 1000 Baker Street. This is a rear yard variance application. We're told that the sponsor of this project has requested a continuance for 1 month in order to engage in further conversations with the neighbors. At this point, it is proposed to continue that matter. Again, it's item 9 of 1000 Baker Street until the October 24th, 2012 hearing. Additionally, item number 11 at 100 Cedro Avenue is a variance request that has now been withdrawn. As such, it won't be heard today or at any other time until such an application is filed, and at which time we will be subject to typical notification procedures. Is there any public comment on either of these two matters that I've just mentioned, either the 1000 Baker Street case item number 9 or the 100 Cedro Avenue case item number 11? Okay, seeing none, we're going to close the public hearing on these two and continue the item 9 until October 21st, and again, I'm sorry, October 24th, and again, item number 11 is withdrawn.
So moving along to our consent calendar, there are two items as mentioned earlier. Case number 2012.0629V, 1080 Chestnut Street, front setback variance sought. Item number 2, case number 2012.0821V, 230 11th Street, rear yard, open space, and non-compliant structure variances sought.
Aside from project sponsors, is there anyone here today to speak to either of these two items? 1080 Chest. Oh, seeing one. Sir, would you please approach? Could you indicate which case you're here to speak on?
For 230 11th Street.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Why don't we go ahead and pull that off the consent agenda, make our first item on the regular
We're
calendar.
Going to move you, sir, on the...
Okay. Is there any public comment on 1080 Chestnut Street? I want to be absolutely confident that no one is here to speak on 1080 Chestnut. Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing and state my inclination to grant 1080 Chestnut subject to standard conditions.
Okay, moving to our regular calendar, we are moving item number 2 from consent calendar to regular calendar. Item number 2, case number 2012.0821V, 230 11th Street, rear yard, open space, and non-compliant structure variances sought. Is the sponsor for this project here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Sorry?
Yes.
Okay. We propose to add to an existing 11.
Please identify yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Greg Smith. I'm the architect for the project. We propose to add a fourth-story addition to an existing 11-unit apartment building at 230 11th Street. We also propose to dig out the existing basement and add two apartments. So added a total of four apartments to an existing 11-unit building. We have a height limit of 50 feet, which we stay under. What we're asking for is a variance on the rear yard setback. The existing building sits into the existing rear yard setback. We propose to keep the addition on the fourth floor in line with that rear yard setback. The rear yard faces south, so it's not going to block any sun for any neighbors. The neighbors are industrial, and in fact, the neighbor to the east, oh, excuse me, west, is in industrial and takes up the whole site. The adjacent property on the rear yard is a parking lot, so there shouldn't be any detrimental effect to any of the neighbors. We're planting street trees as part of the requirement. We follow the setbacks asked for by planning department, 15-foot setbacks on the front street, on 11th Street, and 10 feet from Kissling Street, and again, it was requested by planning. We also put the required outdoor space, of which there is almost, virtually none, on the existing third floor of the building. We're asking for a variance on the width because the setback on the third floor is smaller than the required width for an outdoor space. If we can't get that, we'd have to put it on the roof of the fourth floor, which would increase the height, and planning requested that we put it on the roof of the third floor in order to avoid the height issue. So those cover the variance issues that we've requested. The existing building is non-conforming, and that, I believe, is the third variance is continuing the non-conforming use.
Thank you very much.
Do you want to say it?
No, not at this time. If we have any questions, I'll point that out. Thank you, sir. Members of the public, do we have any comment? Instead of us, sir.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Leonard Satriangelo. I'm an occupant at 230 11th Street. I feel that additional units in the building will be a danger to tenants and to the neighbors, to the property of tenants and to the property of the neighbors. The reason is the medical marijuana dispensary that's run out of the building that is extremely successful. It was brought to my attention in the New York Times with photographs in the paper edition a few years ago. It's grown in its volume. There is so much money and marijuana being trafficked, or excuse me, being distributed through the building that there are 19 industrial-grade surveillance units, cameras throughout, and they've reinforced the windows in the units where the owner of that unit works for fear of armed invasion and robbery. And I'm also concerned about armed invasion and robbery. The last few years, the only tenants that have been given new rental units have been employees of this distribution company, and they also are often under the influence of very serious medication that they smoke. In Unit 1, they've been operating an industrial bakery. I don't know how they were able to do that without whatever, but they make foodstuffs that look appealing to children as well, that are not in safety packages. And Unit 3, to the other side of me, was fully dedicated to grow rooms. And I believe they were not installed to code, although don't know for sure, and I believe they've been operated the same as the bakery is operated by people heavily under the influence of drugs. There was a fire on on the 10th of January that displaced everyone, except the owner of the owner of the marijuana club was allowed to stay. He was the only person in the entire building who was allowed to stay. And also, coincidentally, there was another fire on the 5th, the first weekend, I was out of town, of December, that did not take hold of the whole building. But the fire department was called, and that fire was extinguished. So I believe that the more units that are there, and the more that the staff grows for this place, the more that the odds for an armed invasion, for which they are preparing for by barricading the windows, having industrial grade alarms everywhere, having, I believe, I have photographs of all the extensive surveillance they have that is not available to the other tenants, heaven forbid, someone were coming or going from the building at that type of event.
Please finish your thought.
Well, that's it. And then just also, if there was, because I, of course, I have no substantial evidence, but these two fires that happened 5 weeks apart, one that took the whole building, endangered the property around. Also.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Project sponsor. You step up, sir.
You also have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. As I understand the, from what I heard, the issue is mostly about another tenant in the building. It's a legally permitted use. They have all of their permits. I can't argue to that. That's really outside of the scope of what we're asking for in our variances. I can tell you, though, as part of the fourth floor addition by code, we're required to structurally upgrade the building. We're also required to put in fire sprinklers, a fire sprinkler system. It's only making the building more safe by putting on the addition. The building has had a fire. It was outside. It was on an exterior stair that is being replaced and also brought up to current code is being replaced. So, again, as part of the construction, we're making the building more safe than it was. Occupation of the basement with two apartments makes a 4 foot, 5 foot high crawl space more secure. It's got people in it rather than a big open area at street level. So as far as the variance issues are concerned, we're only making the building better structurally and for fire safety. And I cannot speak to other tenants in the building that's just outside of variance.
Before we sit down, just a couple of questions for you, sir.
Sure.
The medical cannabis dispensary in the building, does it have, in your understanding, all the required permits from the planning department, DBI, public health?
In my understanding, as little as I've spoken to the owner, yes. He's indicated he has the required permits. I know that on the permit history of the project, it's listed as a legally allowed use in that building. It's part of the public record on the building. Again, I didn't pull the permits on that, but I have seen that they are reported in the official documents for the building. So, does that answer your question?
It does, thank you. My understanding, and this is anecdotal, we didn't agree on this issue because it hadn't arisen until today, but my understanding is that the dispensary in the structure is permitted as an accessory use, or was by permit allowed as an accessory use to
a residence.
One residence.
That's correct.
There have been some suggestions that there may be more than one dwelling space being used for the purpose of a medical cannabis dispensary. Do you have any comment on that?
Again, everything I've seen doesn't lead me to believe that. I've only seen the tenant operating out of Unit 1. I was there immediately after the fire, two days after the fire. I saw no evidence of anything in any of the apartments, and I walked the whole building looking for damage. Again, the only thing I saw operating was in Unit 1, which happens to be the only unit that wasn't water damaged or smoke damaged. All of the other units were water and smoke damage.
Thank you. You may have indicated this earlier, but I just missed it, but it can suggest that there were two separate fires on the premises in recent months. Is that the case?
I only know of the major fire we're asking for the permit on. Any subsequent fire, I have not heard anything, and the owner has told me he wasn't aware of any other fire, so I can't speak to that. Again, for the purposes of variance, we're putting in fire sprinklers to make the building more exit safe and structurally sound. So we would be, the project would help solve any of those kind of issues.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm sensitive to the issue of what we're here today to discuss, and that is the variance for this project. variance for the project involves a residential expansion and the need to relax certain quantitative requirements of the planning code in connection with that expansion. I don't believe that the issues associated with the medical cannabis dispensary have bearing on the variance applications. What I do know, and what I think is very important, and I would urge the project sponsor to take back to the building owner with a high level of importance, is that the planning code prohibits the department, any city department, from taking an action on a building where there is a code violation. So what I'm going to do today is express an inclination to grant the variance, because I do believe that the five criteria have been met in this case. But I'm going to direct staff to initiate a code enforcement investigation to verify compliance with the planning code and with the conditions of approval for the medical cannabis dispensary. If a violation is found, no variance or any other permit can be granted until the violation is abated. So I thank you both for coming today, sir. Thank you for your public comment. It was very useful and important to hear. And we'd be happy to hear additional feedback through the case planner after the hearing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving along to item number three, case number 2012.0349V, 168-170 Roosevelt Way, front setback variance sought. Sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is George Bradley. I'm the owner and architect of this project. We're seeking a front yard setback variance, primarily for the third floor expansion of the home. The existing home is built on the property line today, the front property line, and we're just seeking to expand the third floor within that same, along that same facade. We are raising, it will be raising the roof on the portion of that third floor. However, we're keeping it at 30 feet, which is 30 feet above grade. And there's no sun or light or air blocked by any of the neighbors. The site actually is also on a corner lot. It's a very triangular corner lot. So the house is basically wedged into the only place it can go on the site. So that is our request.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public who are here today to speak on this matter? And this is 168-170 Roosevelt Way, item 3 on our calendar. Any public comment? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. My sense is that the project sponsor kind of captured most of the essence of the variance request. This is an unusual lot, both in terms of geometry and in terms of slope. It's an unusual building in terms of its configuration. The proposed design would line up, to use a technical phrase, the proposed facade in a unified, coherent design. Since the front setback in question, the front setback that's the subject of this hearing, is a 3-foot front setback on a substantial parcel of land with 3 feet, given the overall context of the project and the parcel, not substantial. It's also important to note in my mind that the third level on which the expansion would occur already has a non-conforming projection, I suppose, that occupies basically the downtown setback. On balance, I'm not sure of the public benefit in imposing, literally, the front setback requirement on this property. The project is still out for neighborhood notice, and that notice won't expire until the 25th of next month. So I'm not going to make a final decision until that date or later. But I would say that the application seems reasonable, and that the 5 required criteria appear in this case to be met, and that I'm inclined to grant this variance. Thank you.
Moving to item number 4, case number 2012.0758V, 2296 to 2298 Vallejo Street, front setback variance on. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Eugene Sakai, project architect.
Can I use the overhead?
Sure.
Mr. Sider, I'd like to use my 5 minutes to go over some information that I researched subsequent to my filing the variance application and the written findings. So the project has a long history. It was originally built in the 1800s, around 1880. As a Victorian, in 1950, it was heavily remodeled in a contemporary style. As part of that remodel, and I'll show you a quick photo of what it looks like now, there was this trellis structure that was built around the entry court to the building. The building, which was originally a single-family house, became first a two-unit building, then with permits a three-unit building, and now today it's a four-unit building. So the trellis structure defines what is essentially the common entry court to the four units, and that was done as part of the 1951 makeover. Going back to this page, in 1952, there was a subsequent permit granted by the building department to the, I believe it was just the project contractor for what is essentially an infill of the wooden trellis structure that I pointed out to make it solid. The reason for that, and it can be stated down here, is to afford privacy from the street for the ground floor front rooms. This configuration of ground floor rooms facing Vallejo Street is a configuration that continues to this day. And as you can see, even back in 1952, there was a concern about privacy from the street for this. And at that time, the permit was granted. And the what was originally just an open trellis structure with a wrought iron fence was then filled in with redwood fencing to afford privacy from the street. So that's back 50 plus years ago. So going back to this historic photo from 1959, we do see the the white wooden trellis structure from 1951, and then also in 1952, you can make out the faint outline of the wrought iron fence with the lighter color of the redwood panels behind. Flashing forward to the present day, here's a photo that I took personally of our project during construction, where you can see the historic the historic wooden trellis, the original wrought iron fencing, and then the wood paneling behind that that was granted in 1952. Another photo here showing the property from across the street on Vallejo, looking at that same elevation, very much the same as it was 50 plus years ago. So moving forward to the meat and potatoes of why I'm here is the variance request, the design proposal. And that is basically an attempt by myself and the property owner to afford the ground floor unit and the common entry court a similar level of privacy and security as was granted back in 52, but a more contemporary design approach. So our approach calls for a privacy fence that is no taller than what was granted back in 1952, but actually a little bit more open. And this photo doesn't exactly represent what we're proposing, but in concept, it's quite similar in that we're proposing to do a series of horizontally oriented composite decking boards with about a 1-inch air gap in between, which is actually larger than is shown here, and then actually let some greenery go grow back through that. And here's just another photo of that from the... went bad on me. Anyway, that's the essence of our request.
Thank you very much. Are any members of the public here to address this item? And any members of the public here for item number 4, 2296 to 2298 Vallejo Street? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing. Mr. Sakai, thank you for your investigations. I think they're helpful. I think they've come to a large extent. It does seem that the historic condition of this building, lawful, permanent historic condition of this building, was to have a, I'm not sure the right terminology, a privacy screen, a fence at this location of a relatively opaque nature. My sense is that allowing the restoration, effectively, of that historic condition is both consistent with the nature of the building and the history of the building, and also with the intent of planning coding as much as it would enable a better use of the private open space with this fence and screen, better use of the bedrooms that are located behind the screen. My inclination on balance is to grant this variance subject to standard conditions. So again, thank you very much for your detailed research and help me start.
Item number 5, case number 2009.0446V, 60 Fountain Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
My name is Alan Martinez. I'm the architect. The exceptional circumstance is that this is the existing condition. There's a one-unit building in the front and a one-unit building 20 feet in back of it with a 20-foot open space between the two structures. Each is one unit.
So, I mean, if you shift that image over just there so we can see it better. I think my screen dimensions are different than that. That's great. Thank you.
Okay. So there's a 20-foot space between the building in question, which is this one, and the front structure. The front structure is going to remain unchanged. This building is in really bad shape. It's gone through so many different restorations and remodels. We really do have to substantially rebuild it. So we thought that it would be better to build it in the same place, because if we build this new unit where you're supposed to build it, the buildings around it have gotten used to this 20-foot space, especially the building to the south has their living room windows and so on facing this 20-foot space. So it would present a difficulty both for this building at the front, whose rear windows kind of depend on that 20-foot space, this building depends on the 20-foot space, and these people, their main yard is across from it, so they depend on that 20-foot space for the yard. So filling that in would have been a hardship for them. At the same time, we want to build the footprint you normally can build on such a lot. So that would mean keeping the footprint about the same size at the back. This building back here doesn't hurt anybody because, well, one, we're going to take off that rear deck at the back, which is legal, but if anything's going to obstruct the view from the people back there, it's going to be this back deck. But the building is so low at the back that, you know, keeping this house at the back does not interfere with anybody's view back here. So it's not detrimental to anyone to keep it back there. And it's in harmony with the purpose of the planning code, because we do want to provide about this equivalent amount of yard space and still enjoy the equivalent amount of building space. But all the way around, it seemed like since the buildings around it have sort of adjusted to having that mid-lot open space, it seemed best to maintain it.
Thank you.
That's my argument. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public here to address this item? And on item number 5, 60 Falcon Street, any members of the public who would like to speak to this matter? Okay, seeing none, we're going to close the public comment. Mr. Martinez, your characterization of the building's adjusting, I think, is perhaps an interesting one, and probably a pretty apt one. There are some unique factors, in my mind, that apply to this property. We have a very steeply upsloping lot. We have a historic configuration of buildings, both on site and in the neighborhood. The project itself wouldn't substantially expand the footprint or the envelope of this structure. We're still out for neighborhood notice on this project, and that notice won't expire, I'm told, until tomorrow. So for that reason, I'm a little disinclined to do anything right now, but I am inclined to look favorably on the application. I do believe, preliminarily at least, that the 5 required criteria in this case have been met. So thank you for your time and your presentation. It's all for Scott.
Item number 6, case number 2012-0820V, 2538 3rd Street, rear yard variance sought. You're the sponsor, sir?
And if I could just make a few comments on the record before, sir, before you speak. This is a somewhat unusual case. There is a minor inaccuracy in the calendar language. The calendar language is inadequate, but it does comply with planning board requirements. What's relevant here is that this is not a variance, this is a rear yard modification, which is subject to very similar procedural requirements as a variance, but different standards, the required criteria are indeed different than would apply in a variance case. And I do need to read this into the record in this case. Planning Code Section 134E1 does allow the zoning administrator to modify or waive rear yard requirements in this and other districts if each of the following 3 criteria are met. Residential uses are included in the new or expanding development, and a comparable amount of usable open space is provided elsewhere on the lot or within the development where it is more accessible to the residents of the development. The proposed new or expanding structure will not significantly impede the access of light and air. The access of light and air to and used from adjacent properties. And lastly, that the proposed new or expanding structure will not adversely affect the interior lot open space formed by the rear yards of adjacent properties. It's a bit of a mouthful, but it's relevant here because the standards applicable to every other case in our agenda today do not apply here, but do apply to the three criteria that I just read. Thank you for allowing me to read that. And sir, please begin.
You have 5 minutes.
My name is Lev Berzlicki. I'm the architect for the project and hopefully the future owner of the property. Our project is doesn't have quite the range I was hoping for. Our project is very simple. We would like to repurpose this steel shed warehouse that takes up the entire property into our residence. It doesn't have any rear yard, it doesn't have any open space, so our proposal is to cut 2 holes into the roof and bring down the open space into our living spaces. Unfortunately, due to minimum requirements for inner courts, those don't count because the walls are higher than distances. So we have no choice but to go for one of the more standard, comparable spaces, and that's a roof deck. So we are still proposing to cut the 2 holes because we want to have a house that has nice open spaces. And then from one of those open spaces, we have access to a roof deck, which will become a roof garden. The dog patch has a very strong neighborhood association. I've met all my future neighbors, I have all their letters of support, rear side. I've made the presentation to the Dog Passion Neighborhood Association. I received unanimous support. I hit the streets with a little pamphlet. I have, close to 60 signatures. I've worked there. I've worked down the street with Lambert Design for the past 5 years, so I kind of know the neighborhood. And I think we have an opportunity to create a really unique, beautiful space out of a warehouse that's really in bad shape. And we're not, the seller doesn't have an active business that the community is going to be losing. So that's why I got the support, and I hope we can go forward with the purchase and the project.
Thank you very much, sir. Are there any members of the public here to speak to this item? And we're on item number 6, 2538 3rd Street. Okay, seeing none, we're going to close the public hearing. Just as a matter of housekeeping for the private sponsor, my understanding is that we may not have in our files the letters of support and so forth that you just referred to. So following the hearing, if you can get this to the project planner, that would be great. This is a somewhat unusual case in that, again, we're not applying the variance findings. We are applying the modification findings. Residential uses are included in this project. The proposal wouldn't expand the envelope significantly, therefore it wouldn't impede access to light and air for adjacent properties. And indeed, there is no interior block open space here, much less space that would be impacted by this development. I do feel that the three modification criteria have been met. I think it's also useful to note that the project does provide a functional, albeit not code-compliant, rear yard. And that does factor into my thinking. And it does provide additional useful open space on the roof. With that, I'd like to ask the sponsor just to speak into the mics really quickly. It appears there's something I may have mischaracterized.
No, not at all. Because we're in a timeline, obviously, for the escrow and all that, and this was the most practical way to approach it. My preference would have been to ask that the planning department consider those courtyards as countable, usable open space, because they do the two together. They do provide comparable square footage. They don't meet the minimum requirements, which I believe are meant to protect tenants in multi-unit housing, but I have some renderings that show that these could be wonderful, wonderful courtyards for us to use, and that the roof deck we could do, but we would prefer to do, to phase that so we have a better understanding of how to access it. I was told that that would be a different kind of variance, but that my point is that what we're trying to create for us meets the intent of the planning code, even though it doesn't meet the minimum dimensional requirements of the court. I mean, I have a quick rendering if you want to see, but...
Thank you for the comment. It's useful. I have no doubt that the quality of the open space is going to be consistent with the development goals and the great space for the occupants of this building. If, for example, the roof deck were to be eliminated or reduced substantially, at least, the project wouldn't comply with additional planning code requirements, thus triggering a need for a new hearing. Right. So what I'd like to do today is act on this request, or at least have an inclination to act on this request for modification. I am inclined to grant it. Should you wish to modify the project?
In the future, I can always apply.
Should you wish to modify the project, to abandon the project, to renew the project in a way we haven't discussed today, we welcome that through the application process.
Understood.
Thank you. And let's go ahead and call the next item on your way.
Item number 7, case number 2011.1305V, 43 to 45 Noe Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. Approach the mic, sir. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Shad Buser. I'm the project architect. And our property is 43 Noe Street, a property that's been definitely neglected over the years. It's a historic part of the city. Many of the adjacent properties have been renovated over the years and look quite nice, actually. Some of the very next door neighbor has undertaken a remodel back in 2008. So we are looking to do some similar work. The variance that we are applying for is for a rear deck into the required open space of the rear yard. Got a picture here that you can see the existing condition, which is quite terrible, and actually in a terrible state of disrepair, and even beyond this photo is deteriorating further to a point where it's a safety issue. So as part of the work that the owner is undertaking, we want to propose new decks and stairs to make this condition much better. Part of our proposal is also adding slightly large decks at each level to provide private open space to each tenant in the building. And we think that given the development patterns within the current existing rear yard open spaces, that we're within the reasonable guidelines set forth. We've worked with the planning department. I've been very active with the neighborhood association, attending some of their meetings over the months since we've initiated the project to initiate feedback and input. I've had some good conversations with several of the owners on the block, and I think that at this point we're at a solution that seems acceptable to decide that.
Thank you very much. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, we're on item number 7, 43 to 45 Noe Street. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. A few things on my mind with respect to this project. The first of which is that while the modification addition is not insignificant, much of it is within the parcel building envelope. The upper portion of the rear deck and stairs apparatus requires the variance, as does a very small portion of the building itself. But much of the bulk, if that's the right word to use, would be created on an as-of-right basis. The building is a historic building, it is a resource. There are limited development opportunities, limited ways to improve the property to afford greater compliance with open space requirements as this project would, without impacting the integrity of the resource. This strikes me as a fair striking of balance between historic concerns and building envelope concerns. I'm also sympathetic to the project in that it does pull back from the southern, I believe, the southern property line from the current conditions. There's a stairway that would be removed, essentially relocated, thus opening up the project, opening up the parcel to the benefit of at least one of the adjacent neighbors. The project is out for neighborhood notice, but this project as well expires tomorrow, I believe. And because of that, we won't be making a final decision today. I would say, however, that the application does seem to meet the 5 criteria necessary for the granting of the variance. As such, I am inclined to grant it. Thank you for your time. Let's call the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2012-0749V, 85 Manchester Street, rear yard variance sought. You're the sponsor, sir. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Lauren Hill. I'm the architect for the project. This is a bit unusual, but I'm waiting for the homeowner to arrive. Would it be possible to bump lower in the agenda scale?
Yes, we could.
Thank you.
For the record, we are going to hold off item number 8 to wait for the owner. Item number 9 has been moved. Let me read the case number. Case number 2012-0031V, 1000 Baker Street, rear yard variance sought, is being moved to the next calendar for next month, October 24, 2012. Moving to item number 10. Case number 2012-0158V, 850 Battery Street, rear yard variance sought. The sponsor? You have 5 minutes.
I have our affidavit.
I'll take them. Let me restart the for you.
Good morning, my name is Mark Jensen. I'm the architect for the project. Our proposal is for two residential units on top of an existing office building. The Historic Preservation Commission has already approved a certificate of appropriateness for our project. In advance of that hearing, we went through extensive work with the planning department staff on reviewing massing and fenestration for our proposal. The proposal is for residential use. Residential is a permitted use in this district. However, the neighboring buildings are primarily not residential. They have full lot coverage, as does the existing building on our property is full lot coverage. The approach to massing is to have a single-story addition over a two-story building. It's a modest addition. A level building height is 65 feet in this area. We're a full two stories below that. It's not a neighborhood of pitched roofs and bay windows, but rather tough, boxy, large box warehouses. We're proposing a flat roof line typical of this district, simple utilitarian forms consistent with the industrial neighborhood. Battery is the primary street. Working with the planning department, we have maintained a continuous street edge with our addition for facade line continuity along Battery. Vallejo, on the other hand, has less existing facade continuity, and that's where we're proposing to put our exterior usable terraces. So the variance is to the requirement for 25% of lot depth is the required rear yard at the first level of residential occupancy, meaning the level of our addition. We are providing the equivalent area. So in other words, our variance request is for where the yard is located, not for how much yard we're providing. We are not asking for a reduced rear yard area. So in summary of our proposal, our goal is to maintain maximum light and air both for the property and for the neighborhood. From an external standpoint, since there is no existing inner block shared open space, the primary urban design challenge is the relationship to the street. That's what drove the design. From an internal standpoint, our clients want to take advantage of the views to the bay, which is from the north side of the property, as well as maintaining privacy between the exterior spaces of the two units. Extensive study was done on alternate massing schemes, including flipping our proposal, but that would have had our exterior spaces facing a blank wall of the neighboring building that has full lot coverage. So I'll just quickly walk through some of these diagrams. This shows the neighboring building to the south that has a wall taller than our existing building. This is the continuous facade along Battery, and then along here is the Vallejo Street side. This shows on the top a historic photograph of the building. On the bottom is the condition today. So we're removing the later features of mansard roofs and restoring it to its existing original appearance. This diagram shows what would be the normal mandated 25% rear yard condition. And this drawing shows in green the equivalent area, in fact exceeding the required square footage, with two separate decks private for each unit. This drawing shows that not our area, but a typical residential neighborhood where you get the shared light and air amongst all the property's rear yards. So just to indulge me, I'll quote quickly on Section 134, these requirements are intended to assure the protection and continuation of established mid-block landscaped open spaces and maintenance of a scale of development appropriate to each district. So we just simply don't have that in this district, which you can see by this diagram. We've overlaid what would be a shared rear yard, and it just collides with a bunch of full lot coverage buildings. And then I'll just end with this rendering showing how these terraces are oriented towards the bay views on the Vallejo Street side. So happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much. Is there any public comment on this item? And on item number 10, which we've taken out of order, item number 10, in this case 2012-0158 for 850 Battery Street. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the public comment. Sir, I'm sorry, could you step back up to the microphone for a second? This is an unusual situation.
Yeah.
Context is context is atypical. I do have a question of you, really a request for an explanation. The Vallejo Street frontage strikes me as unusual with respect to fenestration, or lack thereof. Really. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about that?
Sure. The fenestration is not on the street itself, but actually set back. So this line along here is fully glazed, actually probably better to even look at this one. These units are L-shaped, and both these walls are full height, full width, floor-to-ceiling glass. So there'll be abundance of connection to the outdoor terraces, as well as to north light. Both of our clients are art collectors, so north light is the most ideal form here. I will say that there was extensive discussion with Telegraph Hill dwellers, with the planning department, with the HBC, and they were not interested in large areas of glazed storefront on the Vallejo or Battery, for that matter, facade, and they encouraged us to set that back from the street edge. So we're in a little bit of catch-22 here. We want maximum glazing for light and air and views, but we're discouraged from having that on the Vallejo frontage. Those two rooms that come out all the way out to the property line are bedrooms, so one side of the room is fully glazed out to the outdoor terrace.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful.
Okay.
There is no rear yard pattern on this block, and the project sponsor pointed that out pretty clearly. The project would provide comparable amount of usable open space elsewhere on the lot. It would meet a portion, maybe about half, the rear yard requirement as prescribed under the code, as proposed. Quality of the open space, I think, stands to be improved through this proposed design and associated variance, particularly in that the open space would be private space for each of the two units rather than a common conventional yard space. Going back to some of the remarks that you made earlier, sir, this isn't a conventional building, it's not a conventional block, it's not a conventional project. I'm inclined to approve the request. I do think that tentatively the five required findings have been met. So thank you for your time here today. Let's go ahead and call the
just
final
to finish item number 11, Assistant ZA. Case number 2012-0751V, 100 Cedro Avenue, rear yard variance sought has been withdrawn from this calendar and to any future variances as of this date. So going back to item number 8, case number 2012-0749V, 85 Manchester Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'll go ahead and homework arrive in time. My name is Lauren Hill. I'm the architect for the proposed rear yard deck and stair addition at 80 by Manchester. The primary thing I want to discuss is the neighborhood context, which does illustrate that a considerable number of the lots on this block are built well past, beyond or well beyond the 45% rear yard line. The proposal is to build deck and stairs on two levels that would encroach beyond the current building wall, which just presently barely encroaches beyond the rear yard line. So I'll walk you through this document. The yellow line is our approximation from the aerial photographs of the 45% rear yard line. And by my count, this is not sort of scientific or data-driven, but apparently close to 90% of the lots have marginal or major encroachments past that line. That's the north end of that, the east end of that block. And here's the west end. I can give you copies of this if you'd like. This highlighted version shows the number of parcels that I estimated have encroachments, and I counted 44 out of 49 lots. Even going back to the original Sanborn maps, which date, I believe, from the 1920s, again, this is an approximation, but just the neighborhood pattern for a long time has been about encroachment. So the main element here is the issue. Oh, by the way, I should point out that an additional element came up onto the scope of the variance during interaction with the project planner, which was apparently a small portion of the original building, the existing building was
built without permits. That was a very minor encroachment into the rear yard, so our case kind of added that to the variance scope. I believe you're aware of that, Mr. Senator. So the basic issue is that most of the block properties on this block do enjoy greater use of their yards than the subject property, and that that is the exceptional circumstance that we feel justifies this addition of deck and stair, which is really to allow better access to the rear yard, better use of the open space, and to some degree improved safety for the building itself. So it would actually constitute a hardship to not allow this variance relative to the other properties, which, again, many of which are built well into the rear yard. So the addition of deck and stair would increase life safety due to better egress conditions. It would improve the access to the usable open space in the rear yard, and it would just be a benefit to that dwelling altogether. And therefore, with regard to item number three, it would allow the owner to enjoy a de facto property right possessed by many other properties on the street in a way that cannot be provided without the required variance. We don't believe there's any major or insignificant impact on public health and welfare, given that the neighborhood, the open space, green space, is so varied and so densely built, and that we believe it is in harmony with the planning code and the master plan.
Great, thank you very much. Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 885 Manchester Street. It seems that we'll go ahead and close the public comment. There's I think two things we need to address. And the first, in the matter of today's hearing, is the variance application. Were this project located in almost any other zoning district in the city, it would be permitted on an as-of-right basis without a variance. That weighs on me to a certain extent. So you alluded to this, the existing configuration does not allow for particularly direct connection to the yard space, which is the usable open space for this existing dwelling unit. The project itself would accommodate a much more meaningful, usable open space, accessible directly off the unit. And that is something very much consistent with the intent of the planning code. We also have I think a responsibility to acknowledge the support of both adjacent neighbors and the rear neighbor, chiming in a fashion consistent that again, you, Project Sponsor, brought up, that much of the neighborhood, with 60 percentages, but the character of this block does seem to be one of general deviation from the Vernal Heights rear yard requirements rather than strict adherence. So, on balance, my inclination is to say that this proposal at least preliminarily meets the required 5 criteria for the granting of a variance. I do want to mention the second part of I think what we need to touch on today, which is the rear portion of the existing property. And it's my understanding that there is a lack of clarity as to the permit status for some of the improvements on the property right now. This variance does not seek any authorization or entitlement or permit associated with that space, but when we do issue our decision letter on this, the letter will affirm our preliminary finding that despite a lack of clarity in the past, from a planning code perspective, the envelope of the structure is a legal existing and or non-conforming structure. In other words, we are finding through our research that portion of the building is in fact properly permitted from a planning code perspective. I would urge you strongly to talk with our colleagues at the Department of Building Inspection to understand what, if any, permit requirements might apply to that space from their perspective. And with that, we conclude our regular calendar. The final item on the calendar is an opportunity for public comment on items not on the agenda. Are there any members of the public here today to speak to any items not on the agenda? Again, last call for public comment on items not on the agenda. Seeing none, we reach the end of our agenda, and we are adjourned. Thank you all.